Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Tes. We will begin a Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. As Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, we have the schus of finishing the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Shnei Gagois, Zu Agav Zu. If there are two roofs, two gardens that are right next to each other, Vayerek Benetayim, meaning you have an elevation, and there's a wall, and the tree, the vegetables growing out of that wall that is between the upper part and the lower part. The question is, who owns those vegetables? So says the Mishnah Meimer, Elyon, the vegetables that come out from the upper part are to the vegetables belong to the person on top, because it's growing out of his air, earth. Rabbi Huda's opinion is it goes to the Tachton because it's growing over his airspace. Amra Meir. So Rameya defends his opinion. It says, Amirza Elyon Likachas Afroi. If the person on top would want to take his earth and just straighten out that whole area, make it equal to the bottom, then there would be no yerek, there would be no vegetable. And therefore, since that would be the case, he deserves to get the vegetables. On Rabbi Huda, so which Rabbi Huda says, if the bottom on the person on the bottom would want to just raise up the earth, then there would be no vegetables, and that's why I believe it should go to the Tachton. Amr Meir, so Meir makes the point. Given that both of them have equally valid claims, we need to determine what is causing that the vegetable should grow. And he says, since it's growing from the earth that belongs to the person on top, it belongs to him. Am Rav Shimon, to which Rav Shimon says, Kol she'el elyon yochel lifshtas yad ve'litoil, any area that the person on top could lift his hand and take, harei shaloi, will belong to him. That anything vashar, anything besides that, will belong to the Tachton, will belong to the bottom. And actually, the halacha follows the opinion of Rav Shimon with this compromise position. And Rashi explains that Rav Shimon really agrees with Rav Meir that the ownership of this vegetation should belong to where the source of the nourishment comes from. And therefore, it should belong to the person who owns the upper garden. Rav Shimon, however, says that the reason that anything that grows behind what he could reach is because his assumption is that the person on top is mafker any vegetables that are beyond his reach. And Rashi explains, because we would assume that the person on top would be embarrassed to ask the person on bottom to be allowed to enter his space to take it. And since he would be embarrassed to enter that space to take it, so that's why he gives up by his own those vegetables to the person on the bottom. The Ramban explains that Reb Shimon really agrees with Reb Yehuda that the owner of the lower garden is really entitled to all the vegetables because they're all growing in his airspace. But again, he says that we assume that the person on bottom is willing to compromise and give up his rights to the vegetables that grow close to the person on top, because he's concerned that if he won't be that way, he's just going to take away his earth and there won't be any source of nourishment for the vegetables. We learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Amud Beis that the opinion of Beis Hillel is that an item that you can only call hefker to one type of person is not considered hefker. Hefker laniyim ain't a hefker. You can't put limitations on hefker. Ask the Gedulei Shmuel if we're learning pshat in the Mishnah that it's all about hefker, whether we take Rashi's opinion that it's the person on top being mafka to the person on bottom, or we take the Rambam Ramban's opinion, that's the person on bottom being mafkir, the person on top. Once it's hefker for everyone. So if it's hefker for everyone, how could it be limited that only the person on the bottom or the person on top should be able to take it? Says the Gedolei Shmuel, the Ramban and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that really, as we begin learning this Mishnah, both neighbors have a valid claim to these vegetables. It's not like not that one's claim is to the exclusion of the other claim. Rameyer is saying that he looks, when we have this question, he looks at the source of nourishment as the way to make the decision. And Yehuda says, we look at airspace to make the decision. But what happens, says the Gedolei Shmuel, is given that they both have decent claims, and the entire discussion of our Mishnah is only who has the better claim. When one walks away from his claim, what automatically happens is that the other one takes is the only one left with a claim. And therefore, since he's the only one left with a claim, that's why he automatically wins, because he has nobody disputing him, and he has a decent claim. The Ravid says, well, what happens if the person on top has a long hand and they reach all the way to the bottom? So then the halacha would be, says the Ravid, according to Reb Shimon, that the person on top would get all the vegetables besides the vegetables that grow within 3 tefachim of the ground. Because anything, we've learned this concept many times in our shiurim, that anything that's within 3 tefachim of the ground is connected to the ground. And therefore, the person on the bottom is considered the owner of those, is considered the owner of those vegetables. Amar Rava, says the Rava. Says Rava, Be'ikra, says the Gemara, Be'ikra, when we speak about the root of the vegetables, Kulam Olai Pligi, there is no discussion that Elyon Hava belongs to the person on top. Ki Pligi, the discussion in our Mishnah has been noifai about the leaves that are extending. We have to look at the what's growing, and just like the ikr belongs to the roots belong to the person on top, so too what we say is the halacha to what's extending. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is we don't follow that opinion. The Tanya Nami Hach, and says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Gabi Menka Memkar, says the Gemara, we have a similar Gemara by Mekach Memka Kai Gavna. The Tanya, the Brisa says, regarding a sale. If somebody bought a tree that is in somebody else's property, so the ownership is only on the tree, he only has ownership of the tree, he doesn't have ownership of anything, of the property. So says the Brisa, Hayotze Min HaGeza U'Min HaShroshim, the anything that grows out of the roots, Hareyo Shabal Karka, belongs to the owner of the property, Divra Meya. Yudaimer Menegezer, what grows out of the trunk, Shabala Ilan, belongs to the owner of the tree. Menashroshim, whatever grows out from the root, Shabal Karka, belongs to the owner of the property, because it grew from the property, and everybody agrees that what grows from the roots is a new tree. And since it's a new tree, it belongs to the owner of the property. The whole machlokes here is, how do we look at the trunk of the tree? Is the trunk of the tree collected to the roots? That's and therefore, Ramea says that the trunk, what grows out of the trunk is equivalent to what grows out of the roots and will belong to the owner of the property. And Yehuda's opinion is that the trunk is not connected to the root, and what grows from the trunk belongs to the owner of the tree. Tanan says, the Gemara, we have a brisa that teaches us a similar halacha, gaba ola kagavna. We know that anything that grows only in the first 3 years is ola. So says the Gemara that we have a simple situation. Ilan hayotzim and agezim and ashroshim, any new tree that emerges from the trunk and from the roots, chai ba'ola, it's considered like it's a new tree. Divrei Rameya. Rabbi Hudaimer, min hageza, anything that grows out from the trunk is considered part of the tree. It's not considered a new tree. It's not considered orla. But what grows from a shroshim, everybody agrees, is considered a new tree, and therefore, since everybody agrees that whatever grows out from that is a new tree, it's chai ba'olam. So we had this machloikis in many different places. And the Gemara wants to know, why do we have the same machloikis in so many different places? Answer the Gemara v'tzrichi. The Ashmina Kamaisa, if we only had the machloikis by Mecca Chamamka, Bahokam Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that everything is considered part of the old tree, Mishum de Memoina. And it's a question of money, and there we're not going to be so concerned. Avogaba orla di surah, where it's a question that if this is considered orla, we're not allowed to eat it, we're not allowed to benefit from it. So therefore, maybe we should be machmer and agree with Rameyer that it's considered like a new tree. V'yetme b'ha, if we only had the machlokes b'orla, b'ha kam Rameyer, that's where Rameyer is going to be machmer and consider it a new tree. Avobahi, when we speak about Mekker Chomemker, Eime Moidele Rabbi Yehuda, he'll agree with Rabbi Yehuda that's not considered a new tree as far as Mekker Chomemker, what's included in the sale, what's not. That's why Tzrichi, we had to have the Machloikas in both cases. So we learned in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon taught us a compromise position. Rav Shimon says, Kol Shalyan Yochel Livshait, anything that the person on top could reach is his. Anything else is not his. Says the Gemara, Om Rebbe de Bei Rebbe Yanai, Ovach Shalo Ya'anis. When we say that anything that he could reach is his, of course, it's only in a situation that he's not going to put himself into danger. That's not considered reachable. And so Poshup Shat, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that you're not supposed to put yourself into danger. If putting into danger, that's considered not yours. But it says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that the other Rishonim actually suggest that it doesn't mean that you have to put yourself into danger. Even if you're not putting yourself into danger, but it's not something that's easily reachable, that's already not considered yours. By Rav Anan V'Tema Rav Yirmiyah, Magil and Noifai, if the person on top could reach the top, Ve'er Magil Ikra, but can't reach the bottom, or vice versa, Magil Ikra Ve'er Magil Noifai, he can reach only one part of what's sticking out. My wa will be halacha. The Gemara remains with a teku. What's going to be halacha? Since the Gemara left this question with a teku, the Torah, when he quotes this halacha, says that that type of a situation should be divided between both parties. The Rambam, however, when he brings down this halacha, if the top person on top cannot reach the stem, he shouldn't take the branches either. Clearly, the opinion of the Rambam is that when an answer to this question, when we have this situation, the person on the bottom gets it all. So as the Kesef Mishnah, why is the Rambam giving more rights to the person on the bottom than the person on the top? Answers the Gra, that the Rambam is an opinion that really Rav Shimon, going back to what we discussed earlier, that Rav Shimon really agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, that the person on the bottom, where the vegetables are growing in his airspace, really deserves all of the vegetables. But as we learned, we said a few moments ago, there's an assumption, that's Rav Shimon's assumption, that the person on the bottom is willing to relinquish some of his rights to the vegetables that are growing within the reach of the person on top. Therefore, says the Gra in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, if there's any doubt if who owns this vegetable, since according to the Rambam's opinion, really all the vegetables should go to the person on top. And since really everything there belongs to the person on top, whenever there's a question, it belongs to the person on the bottom. Says the Gemara, Omra Ephraim Safra Talmid Shreiv Shlokish. Ephraim Safra, the Talmud of Shlokish, said in the name of Shlokish, Halach Rav Shimon, as we've been saying throughout our shir, the Halach is Rav Shimon. Amru Kameh de Shvar Malka, and they said this over to Shvar Malka, and Rashi says, Tu Pshatim, who Shvar Malka was. One Pshat Rashi suggests is that Shvar Malka was the king, and that even though he was a non-Jewish king, he was a great expert in Jewish law, and therefore and they told him over this decision, and he said that this is the correct decision. Amalhu, and the other pshat that Rashi says, that Shvar Malka actually means Shmuel. And Shmuel was a great expert in the area of financial law, Dinei Mamonis, and because he was a great expert of an expert, his opinion carried the day. So the Rashi himself actually doesn't like this pshat because he says Shmuel doesn't have to hear this. Shmuel obviously knew this without hearing this, and he said Amalu, and he said Aperim Namtei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon deserves a lot of credit, and the Taurus Chaim explains that what does it mean when he said Aperim Namtei? Aperim Namtei was said Beloshen Rabin. And people, significant people, great people, speak not in the singular, they speak in the Lashon Rabin. And the Lemberger Rav, Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzon, in the Sefer Divrei Shol, quotes the Sar Sholem. The Pasuk says, that V'yom Avram al Na'orov, Shvu lechem poyim chamor, V'aniv ana nech akoy, V'nishtach v'shuva aleichem. And Rashi explains, V'nishuva, V'snabu, She yeshuva shneim. He, without knowing, he said, in the vu, we're all coming back. What forced Rashi to say this pshat? Because why would Avraham Avinu speak b'loshen rabim for nashuva, if not that he was really sending a message that we're going to come back? But according to what we're learning now, that great people speak b'loshen rabim, so then what was Rashi's question? Avraham Avinu, of course, was a very great individual, and that's why he spoke B'loshen Rabim. So Divrei Shaul says that normally Avraham Avinu did not consider himself such a great person. And because Avraham Avinu didn't consider himself such a great person, he didn't always speak B'loshen Rabim. And what bothers Rashi is why now did he all of a sudden speak B'loshen Rabim? The Maritz Chayis, however, asks a question. How, according to the first pshat of Rashi, that they were speaking to Shvar Malka, means the king, the halacha is that we're not allowed to teach a king Torah, with an Akum Torah. So how do we allow to tell him Divrei Torah? So Maritz Chayitz answers that we're allowed to teach the Akum Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, anything that involves the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. And one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach is Dinim, how to have proper civil law, and therefore that was allowed to be taught. So I saw the Chashuk Echemer of Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita brings a question. What happens if there's a Rebbe in a class or in different settings where he discovers that some of the students are not Jewish? And as we just learned, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph teaches us, Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Lono Mirosha Veloilahem. We're not allowed to teach them Torah. So how is he allowed to give them over Divrei Torah? You know, and that's why we said the answer that we gave. So what's the Rebbe supposed to do when he discovers that there are non-Jews in his class? He's supposed to teach the class Torah. So he suggests, like the Maritz Chayitz just suggested, that we should only teach them Torah that's relevant to them. Civil law, we should teach them say the Noshim because they're also obligated in the Arayis. The Shas of Tshuvas Be'er Sheva actually says it's not clear that the Halacha follows that Gemara. In fact, he says that the Rambam doesn't quote that Gemara. Another, the Magen Avraham suggests, is that the Issa to teach them Torah is only Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Nevi'im, Ksuvim may be taught. Another explanation that the Mashah suggests is that we're allowed to teach, and that would be a good teretz for our Gemara as well, we're allowed to teach them straight halacha. We're not allowed to teach them the reasoning behind halacha. And here they were being taught, if you just teach them straight halacha, which is the case of our Gemara, that is mutter. The Shas of Tshuvas Meshiv Dover says just the opposite. We're allowed to teach them Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Another pshat that he saw is that here, If somebody goes out to teach Nochrim Torah, that is prohibited. But if somebody's not actually going out with the goal of teaching Nochrim Torah, if they come to us, then the halacha is that we're allowed to teach them Torah. Ramosha says, if we're teaching him Torah for the purpose that they should learn the Torah, so we're not allowed to teach Nochrim Torah for the purpose that they should learn Torah. But if we're teaching Torah, that we're learning Torah, and we're teaching people who are supposed to learn Torah, we're teaching such Talmidim Torah, this is Digrus Moshe and Yerideya, Chelik Beis, Simikuf Lamed Beis, and they're just listening in to what we're teaching them, says Rav Moshe, that isn't a violation of the Isra of teaching them Torah. The halacha is, the question is, why on this halacha does the Gemara say, Apirim Namti L'Rav Shimon? It's not our place to start evaluating the halacha. The Torah is halacha, and we don't give compliments. What is the Torah? So the question is, what is important when we look at somebody who learns Torah, that we think of the people in two phases of their life. Do we look at the time that they're in yeshiva, or when they're learning Torah, or do we think about the time when they're leaving the yeshiva? So that question is the question of our Mishnah. Do we look at the root from the growth, from where they come from, or do we look for what is extended? So Rav Shimon says that whatever grows, whatever where it's coming from could reach, anything that is within, connected to the root, anything that is connected to where it comes from, that is what's primary. And therefore that person takes what grows out of the root. Then what extends is we always have to pay most attention to the root. We always have to pay primary attention to how we develop ourselves and how we develop our families and our children. Then the rest is only an outgrowth of that root. And therefore, particularly for those that learn and they start the day with learning Torah, or it becomes the most important part of the day, if that's what's grounding us, if that's what our foundation is, then what grows out from it will be fine. But that we have to remember, says Rav Shimon, always first look at what grows. I saw another nice pshat to connect the beginning of our Masechta and the end of Masechta. The beginning of our Masechta also began with the two people holding the talus, the famous case of Shnai Moichsam Talus. Two people are holding the talus, and they both claim that the talus belongs, each one of them claims that the talus belongs to them. And the question is, what do we do? And the Mishnah, we, of course, recall, said Yachloiku. But Yachloiku is not really the approach that we want to take. Yachloiku represents Machloikus. Yachloiku represents divisiveness. And what Yachloiku also represents is that we don't know what to do. So because we don't know what we do, we take, so to speak, the easy way out, and we just divide it. But after we finish learning our whole Masechta, and we've learned Masechta B'Metzia, and we've thought about all types of situations and developed the skills and the tools how to decide a question and not just rely on Yachloiku, but make decisions. So when we come to the end of the Masechta, after I've learned the whole Masechta with a geshmak, and the Masechta affects the way we think in knowing what the halacha should be, and the Masechta affects how we should think and live in all aspects of our lives. And now we're able to make a decision, as Rav Shimon in our discussion makes a decision. To that says the Gemara, Apirim Namte Rav Shimon. For that, Rav Shimon deserves a lot of credit. And therefore, since it deserves a lot of credit, because we've developed, we end the Masechta thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having given us the Torah, for giving us the opportunity to learn Torah, and to giving us the opportunity to grow in our learning of Torah forever, constantly, for schus for ourselves, for schus for our families, and for schus for all of Klal Yisrael. Hanor lach habayis v'aliyah v'slikol lach masecht baba basra.